You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. Saturday evening, November 29th, can you believe it? We're now past Thanksgiving and barreling towards Christmas. Hey, the good news about that is, well, there's a lot of good news about that, including the fact that we will soon begin featuring all of those festive and spiritual songs of Christmas here on the Political Cesspool, as we do every December. But before we get into that, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if you have been waiting to hear the truth about what's been going on in Ferguson, Missouri, you have tuned into the right show. Unlike Fox News, we could really use their slogan or really execute it. The spin does stop here. We're going to give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We're going to examine the situation in Ferguson from many different converging angles. But first, we'll just start with the basics. As I posted at thepoliticalcesspool.org earlier this week, I believe it was Monday night, the night minutes after the grand jury released its decision not to indict Officer Darren Wilson. And really the only travesty about that decision was that it even had to go to the grand jury to begin with. That this case was so open and shut, the facts were so overwhelming, pointing towards that this man acted in self-defense for his life, that it even had to go to the grand jury to placate these savages. And I will call these people that we saw on television savages, because that's what they were acting like. In fact, it's a disrespect to savages to call those people savages. But yes, the fact that it even had to go before the grand jury was a malpractice of jurisprudence, if you will. But justice was served. Rule of law, due process, reason, and common sense prevailed Monday night in Missouri. And, of course, it was announced that the grand jury decided not to indict Officer Darren Wilson in the self-defense shooting of Michael Brown. One of the articles that I pulled reads, a white police officer. They, you know, race exists when it comes to a situation like this that they believe that they can exploit. Race is a social construct unless it's portrayed in a way that whites have done something wrong. And then, of course, if whites can play the role of the villain or someone evil, then, of course, race exists. But he will not face charges for fatally shooting an unarmed black teenager. I mean, let's talk about that for a minute. Yes, he was unarmed, technically. But let's also look at some other facts. He had just committed a strong-armed robbery. He was high on marijuana. He assaulted a police officer. Repeatedly refused to obey the directives of the police officer. And when he was charging him after being shot once to try to wound him, once he started charging him, he was put down, as he should have been. Let's make no mistake about it. Michael Brown was the bad guy here. Michael Brown was the villain. You know, the Obama administration sent three officials to Michael Brown's funeral. Can you believe that? Not one of them said, you know, we hope for peace and the safety of the police officer's family. No, they sent three officials to the funeral of this street thug. That's all he was, and that's all he was ever going to be. Michael Brown was a street thug. I'm sorry that he was, but that's what it was. That's what he was. I'm sorry that this situation occurred. I wish he had had a better raising. I wish he had had active parents. Not the parents that we saw on television telling the rioters to burn down the city. That's what his mother was telling the rioters moments after the decision was unveiled. Now, those were the bad guys. But those are the same guys that the entire establishment media and the Obama administration and the so-called Justice Department are completely in the tank for. And as I wrote on Monday night, in response to the verdict, we can expect the chronic black malcontents that have descended upon Ferguson, people who have never been concerned with the facts of this case. I predicted, and it wasn't hard to predict this, that they would resume their violent behavior and disordered criminal activities. And they did. And they burned down the town. And they killed people, just like we knew that they would. And I promised that we would have comprehensive live coverage of this decision and its fallout, and we're going to be doing that for the entire 3 hours tonight. Joining us as guests in just a couple of minutes, we will have former television news reporter Sean Bergen. Now, you remember Sean Bergen. For 10 years, he was on the beat as a TV news reporter in some of the most crime-ridden cities in the country, in Newark, New Jersey, in the Bronx. He got fired for covering a story very similar to this, except the roles were reversed. A black thug killed a rookie cop. Sean Bergen said that one of the contributing factors to this is the lack of fathers in black families. And certainly that's one of the causes. He got fired just for saying something as simple and as obvious as that. Well, he's back with us tonight for the third time since his firing this summer. And he's going to be offering his take as a TV news journalist, as a veteran reporter. He's going to be offering his take on how the media covered this story. Here in just a few minutes. All that and much more. We're going to have Sam Dixon. Again, folks, the entire 3 hours tonight are going to be about Ferguson, and we're going to try to cover every angle of this story. Keith Alexander is heading north from Mississippi right now. He will join us at some point during the show. But already in the studio with me right now, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Eddie, did you watch? First of all, welcome to the show.
It's great to be back. I'd like to say hello to all of our listeners out there. It's wonderful to be here. Wonderful to be here in the room with our listeners, James. Yeah, I would like to chime in.
Did you watch it? I don't mean to interrupt, but I was going to ask you, did you watch it? I remember watching this with my wife on Monday night, watching all of this happen as it occurred live on television, watching these news reporters get assaulted and all of these crimes being committed live on national television. Did you watch any of that?
No, James, I didn't, and I'm not trying to sound arrogant or anything, but I knew exactly what that news show was going to show way ahead of time because as you and I both know, that the government under Obama, this rogue government, is playing this out for every bit that it's worth because they do want to divide the racists. They want to divide and conquer here in the United States. I tell you what disturbs me much more, listeners, than the blacks acting the way they're acting, because we can expect that out of them. What I can't understand is the indictment on the whites throughout the country. I sent James an article about an hour ago before coming to the studio about the whites in Seattle, Washington. You see, there was a big protest out there at a big fancy mall where the protesters completely shut down a Christmas celebration, a Christmas tree being put up. They disrupted the children singing Christmas carols. Guess what, people? The police turned these shoppers away, shut the mall down, but did not interfere with the protesters. Now, that is a total indictment on how far our white people have backslid. That shows me they have no regard whatsoever for the rule of law. They have no regard to the facts. They have no clue about the facts. All they know is that they're white traitors. They're traitors to the law. They're traitors to everything that stands in this country, James. I'm just baffled as why any race would do that. And the whites, as you know, are supposed to be well-educated. Well, they're educated fools, my book, James.
Well, I think there's a big disconnect between the whites that we see serving as the mouthpiece for this country in the establishment press and whites that live around us, whites that live in the real world. I guarantee you, you talk to 9 out of 10 whites, not the people that we see going to these silly rallies, and that's just a handful of whites when you take into account the hundreds of millions that are in this country. 9 out of 10 whites, and that's being very generous to the other side, would agree with us on this. Ann Coulter, we just received an email from one of our listeners. Ann Coulter summed it up best. This situation was basically a cop shot at a thug who was trying to kill him. This should not have made national news. You know, do I wish it hadn't happened? Yes, I wish Michael Brown hadn't have done this. I wish that there had never been a shooting, and I wish we had never heard the name of Michael Brown. But quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, he deserved to die. You know, if it had been a white person, he would have deserved to die too. And if that cop had just said, "Hey, N-word, I'm going to kill you for being black," like they pretend to believe, then that cop should receive his full punishment as well. That wasn't the case. Folks, we're just getting started. Stay tuned.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program, where we will be spending the entire 3 hours taking Ferguson and turning it inside out and upside down. And we're going to start our comprehensive Ferguson coverage, or comprehensive coverage of Ferguson, with a man who has paid the price for telling the truth, a true hero of truth tellers around the world, Sean Bergen. You may remember Sean Bergen has been on with us a couple of times at least since this summer when he popped up on our radar. He is, of course, a native New Yorker and a veteran of the United States Navy. He spent 9 years as an actor before turning his hand to television news reporting. And for a decade, he worked in some of the most crime-ridden neighborhoods in the country, from Newark to the South Bronx. Last summer, he was fired, unfortunately, after making on-air remarks about fatherlessness driving black criminality, this while covering the execution of a rookie cop in Jersey City. The fact that he called out the liberal media for their refusal to cover the topic drew the support of law enforcement officers from around the country. Since then, Sean has appeared on Fox News and has become a frequent guest of ours. Sean, thank you so much for coming back and helping us make sense of this powder keg in Missouri.
Well, it's great to be back with you, James. The political cesspool, I think, you know, you guys are just on the cutting edge of you know, the problems that that this country faces. And it's great to be back on the air with a courageous man like yourself, because you're out there, you know, you're taking arrows from people, but you're out there speaking the truth. And that is something that I think is sorely lacking in our culture today.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And that's certainly not to say that everyone must agree with us. I mean, obviously, I believe that we're correct on a lot of things. And as you said, when you tackle taboo issues or issues that have been declared to be taboo by the false gods of political correctness, there comes with that a price, and it's a price that you've paid, frankly, more than I have, and I salute you for that, and that's why you're a hero of ours. But we certainly wanted you on tonight to offer your expertise after being a television news reporter for a decade. Certainly, you have an inside-out perspective on this that we would have lacked. How much, in your opinion, Sean, did the media influence the riots in Ferguson? How much did the media play a role in what has happened there?
This was a media-created event. You know, when you spend 10 years in liberal news media, you really get a good sense as to how the sausage is made and you understand the collusion that takes place between the liberal media and leaders of the civil rights industry. And the guys like Sharpton and Jackson would not exist were it not for their pals in the liberal media. These are the racial arsonists who walk into a bad situation, they douse it with gasoline, and then just before striking the match, they call their handmaidens in the news media who come running to present them with a platform and a megaphone for which they can, you know, through which they can spew their bile. Ferguson was one big lie, and it was driven by the media. It was created by the media. The fires were fanned by the media, much in the same way that they did with the Occupy Wall Street movement. That was a complete liberal media concoction, and that's what we were looking at in Ferguson, as we were looking at with the Trayvon Martin story. Really, there's a lot of similarities there. But if you take the media out of that situation, what you're left with is a small local crime story that appears on page 12 of the local paper.
You nailed it. You nailed it. And there was no reason for this to be a story. As I said, I think right before you came on, had this been a scenario that the establishment media absolutely salivates for. I mean, we know that they have an almost fetish-like zeal for there to be some sort of a racist extreme. You know, I hate to use these words because these are the words they use to describe any number of good people. But if there truly was such a thing as an extremist white supremacist who just killed a black guy for walking down the street like they fantasize about, that would be one thing. But for them to take the situation with Trayvon Martin and cast Zimmerman as a white guy, for starters, was just, I mean, how does that happen? And then this, the facts were so overwhelming that this was just an open and shut case of self-defense and an open and shut example of self-defense, that they could somehow construe this to be, you know, renegade white cop killing, you know, unarmed black teen, as they keep referring to him as. It's just unconscionable.
Well,
it's abominable.
They love a good race riot. There's nothing for those guys like a good race riot because it fits their liberal narrative. And that's all this was right from the beginning. If you remember, going back to the very start of this, the story, the narrative was that a white cop guns down an unarmed, innocent, gentle, giant black teenager in cold blood. Not only did he kill the man, but he shot him from behind while the man was on his knees with his arms raised in a gesture of surrender. And he did this at 12 noon in the middle of the day. And this is the media narrative that they ran with because they could get away with it. And the reason they get away with it is because when the cops are involved in an investigation like this, they cannot comment at all because they can't compromise the investigation. So what do? They give a platform to all of these people who want to spin that, you know, that racist white cop narrative, beginning with Michael Brown's partner in crime. Now, slowly but surely, the story started to leak out. We saw that surveillance video of this hulking thug of a man strong-arming, a helpless little store owner, and that was the first sign that, whoa, wait a minute. This thing is totally, this is not what the way, the story itself was so unbelievably implausible that any clear-eyed adult looking at the situation would say, no, I don't think so. Now,
Yes. On,
I remember Darren Wilson speaking to a proxy. There was a young woman who identified herself as Wilson, Wilson's friend, who I think gave an interview to Dana Lash of The Blaze, and she laid out exactly what happened, and that's exactly how this thing turned out to be in real life, that there was a struggle, that Brown had slugged the officer in the face twice and tried to wrestle away his gun. And then when Officer Wilson commanded him to stop, he turned around and he charged at the cop with his head down, which would explain why he got shot to the top of his head, and that was the gunshot that finally leveled him.
Well, but you know the autopsy. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, if Michael Brown had walked up to a gangbanger on a street corner in Detroit and punched the guy twice in the face, and then tried to wrestle the Glock out of the guy's waistband, every black person in America would say that Michael Brown got what he had coming to him.
Yes. Yeah, but the fact that he did it to a member of the law enforcement community who had an unblemished record, I might add, then somehow, you know, I wonder how much the people in the media actually believe their own narrative, or if they're just, trying to execute and prostrate themselves before political correctness, or if they truly believe that. Surely, if they have any sense and sensibility, they are just saying what they believe they need to say in order to further their careers. You would have to have really gotten drunk off of that Kool-Aid to believe this story. I believe that there may be enough pent-up white hatred in the black community that they would believe it. But for any person that has an ability to employ critical thinking, it's hard to believe that even they believe this, even though they certainly pretend to. I had a question come in from our producer. We've got to work Peter Scoop Stanton in on this. He set up this interview, and I want to thank him for doing it, because you are the absolute perfect person to go to on this. If it's all right with both of y'all, we may extend this interview to the end of the hour if y'all don't have any other engagements, because I want Scoop to have time to sink his teeth into this as well. But our producer has asked me to ask you, what are the discussions like in the newsroom on stories like this? I mean, you would be the one insider that could give us that answer.
Well, you know what? I mean, the Ferguson story really broke not long after I was dismissed from my job in the as a news reporter. But I do remember these conversations happening during the Trayvon Martin case.
Similar conversations.
Similar dynamic. It was a very similar setup. I mean, you had a young guy who's portrayed by the news media as being like some young, innocent, Winnie the Pooh-looking guy. They run a picture of him when he was like 13, 14 years old. And then you see the surveillance video of him at 7-Eleven, and it's like, whoa, this guy is, what? He's no little guy. And then he turns out to be a thug.
All right. We got to take a break, Sean. Oh, we're just getting started, and I wish we didn't have to, but we do. Stay tuned, everybody. Sean Bergen, veteran newsman, our guest for the remainder of the hour. Stay tuned.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips.
There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We had a commercial break interrupt what was becoming a great conversation, and we're going to toss this thing over to Scoop and let him take it into the end zone for a little while here. But I want to quickly reiterate the question that was sent to me from our producer, an insider's question. Sean, we were asking you, what is the dynamic like inside the newsroom as you're preparing a commentary on a story that has the kind of racial animus that we see in Ferguson? I mean, obviously, Ferguson is an extreme example. I mean, it's even the Trayvon Martin story on steroids. But in situations that have somewhat of a similar theme, what's the newsroom like? Are some of the people in the production crew for the narrative and some against it? Are you just told to keep your mouth shut? Can you talk about it with some of the people you know won't rat you out and just not on the camera? I mean, you certainly had common sense before you spoke out on that story last summer. Take us behind the scenes, if you will.
That's a really interesting question, James. And I'll tell you, look, the liberal news media essentially works like a giant echo chamber, okay? And conservatives in a liberal news outlet are kind of like gay actors in Hollywood. You know, we like live in the closet, you know? And you don't really get to really say what's on your mind until you get in the crew car and you talk to your cameraman, who is usually a pretty conservative guy. In fact, most of the conservative people you meet in the news business are cameramen. They're like the blue-collar workers of the news business. They're out there. They see the wreckage caused by the liberal policies. They haven't been indoctrinated in some, you know, Ivy League school into believing this, you know, this liberal crackpot ideology. So for a conservative, you can actually have a frank discussion in the privacy of a crew car, but you dare not open your mouth in a newsroom and speak out like this, because you will be castigated. And you dare not even mention that you're inclined in that direction during the interview process, or you won't be hired. So, you know, that's why these newsrooms, there's a lot of groupthink that goes on there. So they'll take a story from the New York Times, or they'll say, oh, I saw this on CNN, or this ran in the AP today, and these are all very left-tilting organizations, and they'll take those stories and run with them just like that. You know, I have had on a couple of occasions made the mistake of voicing my opinion or just raising a counterpoint as it related to Islamic jihadism and terrorism, and it was like, oh my God, the looks on the faces that I got in the editorial meeting, and then scolded by the news director to say, if you ask that guy that question, he said, you know, it was very clear that I was probably at risk of losing my job. So that's how they do it, you know, it's horrible.
Hey, Sean, this is Eddie Miller here at the Bombardier. I'm just going to pipe in what Sam, our producer, said. He said that's what they call the velvet hammer. I think Sam probably coined that term.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? That's a great term, the velvet hammer. You're absolutely right. Not unlike
Chuck Harder termed it,
a velvet glove.
Sam said a guy named Chuck Harder termed that, coined that term.
Well, it's what it is. I mean, not everybody that gets hired to be on a news crew is an arch liberal. I mean, there has to be some people that just go in there and know that there is things that you can't say, and you just have to pretend, or you lose your job. And listen, that's a big hammer to be tapped with, you know, to have the fear of losing your job. Last question before we go to Scoop, and this is a tie-in: who are the worst offenders in the media with regards to their coverage of Ferguson, Sean? Who would you say have been the worst in their coverage?
Oh, well, without a question, MSNBC. I mean, what they're doing over there isn't even news. That's science fiction. I mean, I don't know what planet they're living on over there. They're out there on planet liberal with just completely untethered from reality. And then, you know, believe it or not, CNN runs a close second. You know, I mean, you turn that show on and you hear more about Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper's feelings than you actually hear about, you know, the facts on the ground. And so I think, you know, they're both really way off to the left. And then, of course, the print media is just a lost cause. I mean, it doesn't matter if you talk about the New York Times or the Washington Post or the L.A. Times. I mean, they're just a bunch of communists over there masquerading as journalists.
I think everybody that believes what the news media believes about Ferguson actually works in the news media. It is such a disconnect from reality and such a disconnect from real Americans that the gulf couldn't be wider. Scoop, over to you, and thank you for your patience. Take it away, Scoop Stanton.
No problem. No problem. Good evening, everybody. Just a quick inside thing. Of course, I was working Monday. So as a true newsman, Sean was giving me text over the phone about what was happening in Ferguson. But, Sean, we always talk about the evils of the media. Now, there's a very few people that we actually look up to in the media. Now, you're watching the coverage of Ferguson. Was there anybody in Ferguson that did a bang-up job in terms of being honest about what's going on in Ferguson?
You know, one of my favorite correspondents is Steve Harrigan from Fox News.
He's
right there in the thick of things. I keep an eye. I watched his reporting very closely, as well as Mike Tobin from Fox News. And then, of course, you know, we love to see what kind of trouble Charlie the Duff is getting into out there, because he's always right in the mix also. And also with a very unique perspective that you don't see in local TV news. That guy is doing some really, really inventive work. And I think it's because he hasn't been indoctrinated by, typical local TV news and the consultants and everything that goes with it, you know. So for that reason, he's doing some pretty creative and inventive stuff and I like. The rest of it is really just very predictable.
Okay.
I take it, Scoop.
Great. Say again?
I said take another one. Take another crack at this thing.
Okay. Also, Monday, as I was telling my, I happen to work with lots of black people. So go ahead, chase me down, STLC, ADL, saying that racist Scoop Stanton works with a bunch of black people. But they were upset about what was happening in Ferguson, not because of the shooting, but what the people were doing in Ferguson. Now, if would the media come up to my coworkers and put them on television or in newsprint or on the internet saying, here's some people upset that black people are acting stupid in Ferguson?
Well, you know, they might do the interview, but it's another thing to air it. And I you just don't see it that often. You know, they tend to, once they have their narrative going, they're going to air interviews with people who support their narrative. And anything that flies in the face of liberal orthodoxy never really makes it to air. And that was one of the big problems that I had in when I lost my job was, one of the things I pointed out was, you know, we have an issue with fatherlessness in the black community. It's driving black criminality, and no one in the news media has the courage to touch that subject. And the reason is because to do so would be to pull back the curtain on liberalism's dirty little secret. So they tend to go with, they'll call the producer and say, oh, I've got a great soundbite from this guy who says this. Or sometimes, this is even worse, the producers will tell the reporter, go out and find somebody who will say this. I can't tell you how many times I've been told that. Go out and find somebody who will say this. And it's like, I look at the executive producer and say, well, why don't you just write a script for me? And I'll hand them the script.
That is very,
hold up cue cards.
Very telling. Very telling.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, a scoop. This question goes out to both of y'all. It's Bombardier here. You know, I have heard, especially during the first Ferguson riots, that reporters, you know, y'all mentioned, are there any reporters up there doing a fair job? Well, I have heard from good sources that newspaper reporters were being arrested. They were actually police officers with sniper rifles having the reporters in their sights. I want to know if you guys have any inside information, or are they picking and choosing which newspaper reporters, which media reporters they were arresting? Were they arresting, reporters from, say, the Washington?
I think what you're talking about is Russia Today reporters got arrested. I think that is what you're referring to, Eddie.
Right. Okay. Russia Today. Were they arresting, say, these liberal newspaper reporters from, say, the Washington Post?
Have you heard anything about that, Sean?
Here's what happens. When you have these chaotic scenes, sometimes you'll have media all over the place. And and for their safety, the police officers will move them back or try to move them into, like a media pen where they're safe. If you have reporters resisting in the face of that, then they're going to be arrested. If a cop tells you to move off the block, you don't stand there and say, this is a public street, I have a right to be here. You know, if you're out, you know, doing a story about a school closing on a snow day, well, then you're right. But if you're in the midst of a riot and people are throwing rocks and Molotov cocktails, and a cop tells you as a reporter, get off the street, he's doing it for your own safety. And he's doing it for public safety. He's doing it because you might be endangering other people.
Hey, have you ever heard of a fellow named Powell? What is it? Arnie Powell. And he was at Iwo Jima, Guadalcanal. Hey, he was catching a lot more flack than they ever thought about catching there at Ferguson. And this guy was a newspaper reporter, and he went anywhere the Marines went. And that's just my 2 cents worth.
Well, I mean, here's the thing,
that's
though.
Ernie
They're going to arrest
Stars and Stripes.
Correct. Ernie Powell.
Thank you, Sean.
Yeah.
But it's one thing to arrest, you know, RT reporters. And I can understand to an extent them doing that. Why weren't they arresting these people that were burning down Ferguson? You know, I mean, where was that? You know, I guess they couldn't. To arrest them for breaking the law would be racist. We all know that. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We're going to come back. Sean, if you and Scoop could stick with us for one more segment, I think we can carry this thing home. Stay tuned, everybody. Thank you, Sean. We'll be right back.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. We're very lucky to have veteran newsman Sean Bergen with us for one more segment tonight. And it's so important to feature Sean here as the anchor of tonight's program in terms of the guest and to have him on at the very beginning because he is the best person qualified to come on tonight and talk to us about the media's role in what happened in Ferguson. And what he's covered tonight has already been pretty substantial, talking about how the media completely manufactured this story, which they did. It should have been a blurb. Maybe Michael Brown's obit should have been the only thing printed about this. And then he said that, you know, he gave us a behind-the-scenes look at what happens in the newsroom on stories like this. His producer's actually telling him to go find someone and ask them to say this. I mean, that's incredible. That's an incredible peek behind the curtains, what we all knew but now have had substantiated. Well, we all knew that the media was criminally corrupt. We didn't need Sean to confirm that, but it's nice that he has. But I will tell you this. As I waited for this, the decision from the grand jury to be rendered, I felt very much emotionally invested in this story. I felt as though Darren Wilson was a relative or a friend of mine. And just because he is, you know, this is the modern day Salem. I mean, this is completely outrageous. I was waiting. I knew the decision was going to be handed down at a certain time. I was actually out shopping with my wife and trying to get back home and refreshing my Google News alert for Ferguson every 2 minutes to see if it had been rendered yet. I really felt a connection with this story. Because if he had been indicted, that would have meant that we have returned to race-based lynch law. The blacks didn't want justice in this. They wanted a lynching. They wanted the United States of America to be operated like Haiti. Scoop Stanton actually texted me the decision before I could ever get home and see it myself. Yeah. But anyway, Sean, you were talking about the intrepid reporter for Fox News. I was watching his coverage when his cameraman was assaulted by one of these hoodlums.
That's right.
And he got great footage of these looters coming out of a liquor store. I mean, obviously these people couldn't care less about Michael Brown. This is just an opportunity for them to lash out and act out and cause mayhem and racial strife. I thought Fox did very well, though. I don't say this often, but Fox did very well in their coverage. I think even Sean Hannity did a very good job in his coverage on this. But I would ask you this, and it was very comical to watch Obama's remarks almost immediately after the grand jury's decision was made public, contrasted with the split screen of all the racial unrest in Ferguson. What was the most interesting aspect of this to you, Sean, this story? And if you had been on the scene there as a reporter, what would have been the story that you would have told?
Oh, well, I mean, that's an interesting question. Look, when you're in the midst of that kind of chaos, what you do as a TV news reporter, because it's really all about the pictures, I can just kind of direct the camera and say, all right, let's look over here now and see what these guys are doing. You can see them breaking into the liquor store, and the pictures really tell the story. There's not a heck of a lot for you to do except remain on your feet and hope that camera stays. You know, we can keep it plugged in and keep the pictures going because they are so engaging. They really tell the whole story. And it's everything that you just laid out. I mean, you have these people who are raised with an entitlement mentality and they bust in and loot places because they feel that they're entitled to do it, that they deserve other people's property and that they're just going to go out and take it. And
the media.
I think if I were there, I may have tried to get one of those looters on TV and ask them, what is it about this situation that makes you think that this is okay? That would have been the question I would have tried to ask that guy in the mask.
Well, and the Fox News reporter that you mentioned, what was his name again, Sean? I'm sorry.
Steve Harrigan.
Harrigan, that's right.
You know, he's a great war correspondent. He's been, you know, done some fantastic reporting from the Middle East, and he always manages to really present an even-keeled, calm delivery in the midst of just unbelievable chaos.
Well, he did that and more and watching his coverage, and I watched it live with my wife. I told her, this is something you need to see. I mean, this is reality. And, of course, she knew that, but to watch something like this is something you don't see very often. You know, you saw it with Katrina and to a lesser extent, Trayvon Martin. But no, he was covering that. And he asked one of these, I think it was a black woman, she was walking out of a liquor store with, you know, her arms full of gin, these huge bottles of liquor and a Hawaiian punch mixer. And he was asking her, you know, what she had there. And of course she didn't stop, but he got a zoom in on all the bounty. And that was right before his camera went dark. I guess, you know, the cameraman had been assaulted, but Scoop, I want to toss it back over to you, brother.
Okay. Thanks, James. Sean, a couple questions about the police. One, in your honest opinion, was the local authorities prepared for what was going to happen in Ferguson that Monday night?
I think they were probably a little more prepared than they were the last time. I mean, you got to remember, Ferguson's a small town. I think they were really caught off guard the first time this happened. It looked to me like the police were better prepared, but what was the complete mystery to me and many other people is why the National Guard was called in after they had already been mobilized. And it looks to me now like maybe the governor of the state was under some political pressure from the U.S. Justice Department, or the Injustice Department, as I call it, because that is absolutely astonishing and baffling that they did not call the National Guard in and just stood by and watched as 21 businesses were burned to the ground. And I think it's worth noting here that the only business, one of the only businesses that was not burned to the ground was a local gas station, where the employees came out armed with AR-15, with guns in their waistband, and they stood out there and they made sure not only that the place was not burned to the ground, but that their customers could come in and safely buy gasoline. And, you know, time and again, we see these situations where, you know, people really have to exercise their Second Amendment rights in order to protect their lives and their property. That was another big story that came out of Ferguson. If there was anything that was stimulated there, it was gun sale. Because people recognized the need in that situation that the authorities, even with the National Guard there, could not protect 21 businesses from being burned to the ground. I mean, it's astonishing to me that liberals cannot get that. They're hardwired in a way, I think, that they just either they're unable to acknowledge that or get it, or they just refuse to outright. I still haven't figured that out.
Well, there was a great run on the gun stores, and that is one of the good things that came out of this. And, of course, an armed society is a polite society. The states that have, Second Amendment in full force have such lower crime rates than the cities and states with high gun control laws that it's just ridiculous. But the cops have been a real victim in this. I want to say this. You know, how many years and how many patrols have the Ferguson Police Department executed without an incident, you know, keeping everybody in that community, black and white, safe, and put their lives on the line all of these years? And this is what they're going to be remembered for as far as the media is concerned, as a bunch of racist, you know, killers of unarmed black cherubs. It's just ridiculous. And my heart goes out to all those policemen who have to endure this disgrace. You know, we've posted stories about this. The policemen, you know, that has to be utterly demoralizing. We only have a couple of minutes left, and I wish we had a couple of hours. Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
Who, just about before going to air, the AP ran the story that he has resigned his position with the Ferguson Police Department. I don't know what that does.
Well, right. I mean, where is he going to work now? Who's going to hire him with all of that baggage? That's the thing. He might not go to jail, but his life has been ruined. Make no mistake about that. Eddie, quick last question. We only have seconds remaining.
He's going to the witness protection program, for God's sake.
He may have to.
Sean, quick question here, fella. In your career, in your news career, have you ever seen a news organization like that you work for ever go out and actually organize, encourage, or facilitate a protest by mainly white people? Because I asked that because what went on in Seattle, Washington, and Times Square, where white people are protesting about Ferguson, totally mindless of the facts. Have you ever witnessed a media organization to facilitate or encourage or organize a mostly white protest?
No, quite the opposite. I saw the Tea Party coverage of Tea Party rallies, and their Tea Party rally and the Tea Party rallies were largely ignored by the news media. And because I was working the weekend shift. And I would have to really press to go and cover something like that. Or at the same time, when we had people here protesting for their gun rights in the aftermath of the Newtown shooting, the decision makers, the gatekeepers, they don't want to go anywhere near that story. And it's not like they sit around a table and say, well, you know, how can we ignore these people or how can we make them go away? It's just that the story does not appeal to them. And because the story doesn't appeal to them, they make the assumption that it doesn't appeal to anybody else, or it shouldn't appeal to anybody else. And if it does appeal to other people, because they're just a bunch of Neanderthals and they're not on our level. So, you know, we're not going to indulge them. But, yeah, they did a good job of ignoring the Tea Party route.
Well, listen, Sean, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you for kicking off our coverage of Ferguson in such a stellar fashion, and I want to thank Scoop Stanton for facilitating this interview. Scoop, a final word to you. I don't know if we have time for a question necessarily, but a final word to you anyway.
Final word is that look out for black fatigue, because if you remember 20 years ago, L.A. burned. You look 50 years ago, Detroit burned, Memphis burned, Chicago burn. People are just getting sick of this. Now Ferguson burn. So eventually, you know, all these people that have been voting Democrat and, you know, all about diversity, things like that, they're going to say, forget about it.
Is the thing, Scoop. You bring up an excellent point that we will cover in more detail in the second and third hour tonight. You look at all of the trillions of dollars that have been invested to atone for the so-called sin of slavery. And affirmative action and quotas and set-asides and all of the things that our society has done to make blacks feel better about themselves and to elevate them to a level playing field. And the races have never been more divided. We're going to examine that question when we continue. Thank you so much, Sean Bergen. God bless you, brother.
It's great to be with you guys. Thanks very much for having me on.
Right here. Always our pleasure. We'll be back with more right after this.